Hello, Mighty Warrior. I want you to be brutally honest with yourself for just 1 minute. When you hear the word sex, does it make you feel excitement or shame? Do you think God or guilt? Does sex make you think of ways to draw closer to your wife or how to hide your sins from your wife? Does sex make you think about purity or porn? Love or lust? When it comes to sex, lust, or porn, most men, or maybe you, struggle with walking in sexual purity and integrity. And you've tried everything you can think of to control the urge to watch porn, lust after women, or masturbate. Things like adding filters to your computer and your smartphone. Getting counseling. Attending recovery groups. Praying and fasting. Abstaining from social media. And believe it or not, even getting married. And many of these things do work as a short-term solution. But it doesn't get to the root of a man's real problem. His identity and his authority in Christ. Now, as a born-again Christian who's also a 15-year recovering porn and sex addict, I knew there had to be a better, long-term solution to man's lifelong battle with lust and porn. And we found it. It's our one-on-one private Life Over Lust 30-day intervention. It's a unique, personalized, intensive program where I virtually walk side-by-side with you in sexual integrity for 30 days. That's right, for 30 consecutive days. I will do life with you by intentionally, strategically, and methodically taking you through a proven structured process to help you break free from sexual sin. However, because of the highly personalized nature of this program and my time commitment, there is a cost, and it's not cheap. And I can only take on 2 men at a time. No more, no exceptions. And you have to complete an application and be accepted first before I can take you on as a client. Now, I know this program isn't for everyone, and every man won't be able to participate. But if you're tired of losing a battle with lust, getting punked by porn, and surrendering to sexual temptation, personally email me at joe@realmenconnect.com to request an application and an interview. That's Joe, J-O-E, at realmenconnect.com.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast where we help good men become great men God's way. And I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin. And every week, we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Guys, today we have with us my guest, Sathya Sam, who is a pastor, entrepreneur, and coach with a passion to see men live healthy and fulfilling lives. He's a brilliant communicator and clever innovator. Sathya has created music, books, and courses that emphasize underlying principles and provide tools to experience success in relationships, careers, and spiritual life. And he currently lives in Toronto, Canada, beautiful Toronto, Canada. Now, guys, unless you are new listener to the podcast, you know that my testimony involves being set free from sex and porn addiction that ultimately cost me a 16-year marriage. And now I've been 15 years sober and free from pornography and masturbation. However, porn continues to be a battle for the majority of men out there. And Sathya Sam is playing a major role in helping set men free from their addictions. So I'm excited about talking to him today about what we can do as men, not only to walk in victory over pornography, but to maintain that victory for a lifetime. Yes, it is possible. So Warrior Nation, please join me in welcoming my guest, Sathya Sam, to the Real Men Connect podcast. Thanks for joining us, Sathya. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Dr. Joe. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. We were talking a little bit before we came on to the show about how I'm excited about talking to you because we do a lot of topics. You know, we address topics that most churches and most men's groups don't want to talk about, from pornography, sexual addiction, father wounds, you name it, trauma, that kind of thing. And so this is one of those topics I knew when we first launched our podcast that it was going to be a regular topic that we were going to be talking about. And I was eventually expecting men to say, man, we're tired of that show is always talking about pornography and sexual addiction and sexual abuse. Man, can't they talk about some lighter topics than that? But no, these are the topics that are tripping men up and are hurting them. And Sathya, when I found out that you were doing it and I started seeing all the interviews you were doing, I'm like, man, this guy is picking up the mantle. He's picking up the banner and he's not ashamed and he's ready to take on this battle. So Man, thank you for being willing to come on our show to talk about such a topic that is typically avoided by men. So thank you again for being on the show, man.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. And I completely agree. It's a huge topic and we need more people talking about it. So I'm glad you're going there as well, Dr. Joe. It's amazing.
Now, Cynthia, whenever we bring a guest on, we always ask them their favorite Bible verse that gives them inspiration from the Word of God. And I'm sure as a man of God, you have a lot of different verses. But what is one in particular that gives you hope and inspiration that you hang on to in this season of your life?
Yeah, well, you know, in this season, we're in unusual times. There's all this racial unrest. Obviously, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. So I've been really sunk in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 9. It's classic scripture about experiencing peace, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. And so I call those scriptures like peace 101, you know, because those first two verses talk about experiencing the peace of God. If you read verse 8, then it says, you know, whatever is true, whatever is noble, just, lovely, of a good rapport, sound mind, it goes on. And it says, meditate on these things and the God of peace will be with you. And so I've just been realizing there's actually a difference between experiencing the peace of God and the God of peace. And I think experiencing the peace of God is a good place to start. But truly, you want the God of peace with you at all times. And I feel like with all the external stressors that are around right now, I'm pressing in to just experience God's peace in a whole nother level. And so that's been looking like really guarding my thought life and really meditating on some of those things that are outlined in those verses. So that's been huge for me, man. I think peace is everything right now.
You know, and I think even with talking about this battle with pornography and sexual addiction, that's what a lot of men are searching for. They're searching for that peace that surpasses all understanding. And I love you made that distinction. There's a difference between the God of peace and the peace of God. So I think what a great scripture to be an anchor verse for you. You know, now, Cynthia, we got a lot of stuff I want to cover with you, and I'm hoping that we'll get to most of the questions that I have for you. But I always like to get the backstory of our guests to find out what got them here. And I've heard your story, but I want you to share part of your story, and I might dig a little bit deeper into it based on what you share and how much you share with our guests today. But tell us a little bit about your story and what got you involved in this particular aspect of ministry when it comes to pornography and sexual purity.
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in a good home. My dad's a pastor. My grandpa's a pastor and my great grandpa was a pastor. So it runs pretty deep in the generational line. And really, I had a pretty simple childhood, nothing too much to complain about. And I got exposed to pornography in the computer lab of my Christian school at the age of 11, which I believe to this day is still the average age of first exposure. But I mean, most of your guys will know that the first time is rarely the last time. And that was certainly the case for me. So pornography just became a regular thing by the time I was in high school. And I'm still in, you know, Christian schools. I kind of know it's wrong, but I'm not super apologetic about it. And always thought, I know one day I'll stop doing this. And I just figured it was kind of like a switch. I could just turn it off. Went to university straight out of high school. I skipped a grade, so I was actually very young. I just turned 17 when I graduated and had my honors degree by the time I was 20. And when I was in university, I was working long days, studying away and working in labs and stuff. And pornography went from just kind of being this thing I did regularly to something that I needed. It helped me kind of take the edge off, helped me de-stress after a long day. And that's when I think it really became a systemic problem in my life. And I found God in my degree as well. While I was completing my degree, I mean, knew God from a very young age, obviously growing up in a pastor's home, but didn't really build a personal relationship with him until I was about 20, 21. And that changed my career paths. I kind of went from medicine to ministry, and that's a whole nother story in of itself. But when I gave my life to God, I realized, okay, I need to clean some things up. You know, I didn't have great language, and yeah, I had pornography, obviously, and I was drinking on the weekends with my friends, and you know, I had a bunch of things I needed to clean up, and the swearing was pretty easy to remedy. The drinking wasn't really that much of a problem to kind of like, I guess, just cut back on it and, you know, just drink responsibly. But I could not shake pornography for like anything. I tried everything I could on my own. It didn't work. And so I started trying other things like accountability partners and internet filters. And I did talk to a couple friends about it, but I really felt trapped for a couple of years. And it wasn't from a lack of effort or desire to break free. I actually was not finding effective solutions. And it drove me kind of crazy. And so when I did start to find things that actually worked and I felt like, okay, I'm actually moving the needle forward here, I made up my mind that when I get fully free, it was not if I get fully free, it was when I get fully free, I will do everything in my power to help as many men as possible get free in a way shorter time than I did. And by the time I did get fully free, it was another 4 years after I kind of made that mental decision. I was 26 years old. So it started when I was 11. So that's 15 years of struggling, trying to figure it out. But by the time I was 26, I had a handle on it. I found a system that kind of worked. I understood now how to actually evoke change long term, because I could go a month here or there. I could even go a couple months. I think one time I almost went a year and I fell back into it because I wasn't really effectively dealing with the problem. So I got free. I knew I was free when I kind of got free, because it felt different, but I decided I'd wait a couple years because I wanted to know for sure. And once a couple years had passed, I felt like I got the release from God to start a ministry and start helping guys.
You know, Sadhya, man, you share so much, and already I can't wait to get to some of my questions. But before we move there, I got to tell you, you've probably now made a lot of our listeners, if they're dads of young adults. I tell you, I'm typically, I have a 24-year-old myself, and you're making them nervous right now and getting them a little bit antsy. And you said, Joe, what did I do? What did I say? Because you came from good stock. All right? You had good parents. And typically we tend to think that battle with sexual temptation and lust and pornography is a generational curse, because you hear, well, my dad used to watch it, and my dad used to watch it, because I could say that about my dad, even though he wasn't there when I was a child. When I later got to know him, I know that he had a lot of Playboy magazines, when Playboy used to be out, when he had Playboy magazines. And so my question, going back to you, is that this wasn't generational in your family, that your dad, did they ever, or your grandfather ever mention to you when you were growing up as a kid? Because I'm sure you told them about it. They all know you struggled now, but did you tell them about it? And did they have any battles with pornography?
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. The short answer is no. And part of that's a cultural thing. Like Indian culture is just very, very reserved, and you wouldn't share that kind of stuff with your kids anyway. It wasn't until I was probably midway through my journey that I opened up to my dad. I was releasing my first CD, as a worship leader, as a Christian artist, and really feeling the conviction like, oh my goodness, I'm about to launch a CD and I have this issue still. And so I talked to my dad about it. That was the first time I really opened up. And he didn't share back with me right away, but then a couple months later, he then explained to me that it was an issue in his life, something he had to work through. And that he said that the context was, he was encouraging me to get all the help I possibly could, because it took a toll on his ministry and his marriage, and he didn't want me to go through those same hardships.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting too that we know that at the base and root of a lot of this stuff is a lot of shame, and because we don't talk about it, it tends to go a lot longer than it probably should. Which is another question I wanted to ask you before we even get into the real questions. Is, you mentioned that it was about 15 years that you had to battle with this. We know now, and you've walked men through this process, and you realize it doesn't have to take 15 years. Why do you think that it took you so long to finally break it, to walk free from it?
Well, I think it's a mixture of things. It's definitely what you just mentioned. I was pretty quiet about it, and I think the church as a whole was quiet about it. So there's just this huge disconnect. Obviously, there's a way to get free. I knew it was possible. But the actual how, that area was so neglected that honestly, I had no idea. So part of it was just being clueless. And then I think the other part was finding, there's a lot of feel good, quick solutions that don't actually bring any long lasting change. And I was a bit of a sucker for those. And I kind of rip a little bit on accountability partners and internet filters. I'm not actually against them. I just think they're part of the solution. They're not the solution. And I made that mistake. I got into that stuff thinking, perfect, I installed the internet filter, I'm good to go, and I just kind of waited for my results. It just doesn't work that way. So I think that was the other thing, was a lack of actual effective solutions that bring long-term change.
You know, now you mentioned about your culture, being the Indian culture. How did your mom respond to all of this? You know, women don't want to hear this stuff, for their sons battling with this kind of thing. What did she say when you came out with this and was telling them this was your struggle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was hard for her. You know, I'm a pretty good kid. So I think anytime my parents have heard about those kinds of areas in my life where I haven't been perfect, it's been challenging. So on the whole, Dr. Joe, she's actually pretty quiet about it, but very supportive. You know, I never felt any, I think one of the fears I had when I talked to my parents about it was that it would affect the way they saw me, which of course is like, when you become a parent, you realize how crazy that is, that your kids could think that kind of thing. And I'm not a parent yet, but I understand that now. But at the time, I had no grid for it. And I just thought, man, this could affect the way they see me. I don't know what it's going to do to my relationships, which is the essence of shame, isn't it? It's that fear of disconnection. And my mom's just been so loving, so supportive, and they're probably the number one fans of my ministry now. So yeah, it's been good, but again, not super outspoken, not tons of conversation about it.
Yeah, and I think men need to hear that too, because I know when I had to go to my mom and my sister, because I was raised by a single mom, and my younger sister, just a year younger than I was, they both kind of revered me as that man on a pedestal that, you know, he's better than most men out there, because, you know. And then I had to tell them this when they saw my marriage being destroyed. They're like, what's going on? And then when I told them how deep it went, because it went past pornography to a sexual addiction, that's probably was one of, I was one of the scariest things I ever had to do, was to tell my mother and my younger sister that I was off the deep end. I was involved in stuff, deep, dark, stupid stuff. And to be able to tell them that and have them, like your mom did, just show me a lot of love and support, it was probably one of the most healing things to help me get through the process, because I knew that no matter what, they were going to stand by me and be on my side. And I think a lot of times as men, we need to know that there are people out there who will love you unconditionally. And it's great if it's your parents, but they're not the only ones, but they can. And so that's great to hear that your mom responded that way. Now, Cynthia, let's get into some of these questions, man. And thanks for sharing that with us, because I wanted to get a snapshot of your background so they can see that no home is immune from this. And that's why I say, I'm saying it kind of tongue in cheek about how some guys are getting nervous that they're listening, because we keep thinking as Christian fathers, okay, we're going to do it better. You know, we're going to have we're going to disciple our children. We're going to provide this household, and they shouldn't have to battle with this stuff. They're not going to have to battle with this stuff. No, that's not the truth. You got to get ready for the battle. It's coming. And you got to be able to respond. So that's what I'm hoping that you're going to help us with today. Now, in preparing for my interview with you, I heard you say that one of the keys to overcome pornography is understanding the real reason why we choose to watch pornography. I'm with you on that 100%. So if it's not just for the immediate gratification or what the scientists say, that quick dopamine hit for pornography, why do you think we men really watch pornography? What do you think some of those real reasons are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all actually boils down to intimacy. I think we're all wired for intimacy. And the scary thing about intimacy is there's always a cost. You know, so if you think about emotional intimacy in a marriage, it's actually expensive to acquire it, because it means you have to be humble, you have to confess your mistakes, you have to be transparent, you have to be willing to put your needs aside. There's so much work in it. That's way harder than just typing something into a search bar, clicking on a couple things, and then watching it. And so porn is fake intimacy. It offers this illusion of intimacy in the moment, but we all know we feel anything but intimacy afterwards. It's all the shame and all the regret after. And so I think that's what draws a lot of people in. It's that desire for intimacy. And really, I mean, this is a gross oversimplification, but porn is just a bad solution to getting your needs met. And so there's always going to be healthy ways, there's going to be unhealthy ways. And unfortunately, porn is just a very damaging, unhealthy option. And so a lot of recovery really is learning to detach from those and then build healthier options in your life so that you do get your needs met, especially for intimacy in healthy ways.
Yeah, we had a guest on our show, his name is Carl Stewart. And he says that, he said, porn is not the problem. He says, it's actually the answer. He said, it's just the wrong answer to your problem. Yeah. You know, but I want to ask you this, though. You grew up in a great home. Yeah. Supportive parents and everything. And you're right that this is an intimacy issue. And so what do you think you were lacking, that if you had a nurturing environment, you had the mom and dad there, what do you think was missing from your life that made you think that this intimacy was what I needed more so than what I'm receiving from my parents.
Yeah, I appreciate that question, because I think I would still say to this day, I grew up in a great home. I had a good childhood. But one of the things I identified along the way is that actually I've lived most of my life feeling neglected. And that was it was the kind of revelation I would have never found on my own. I really needed professional help to discover that. But it stemmed with my relationship with my mom. She's extremely loving, as we've already kind of discussed, very nurturing, very unconditionally accepting, you know, like a good mom would be, probably any mom. And she's also very shy. She's just a more timid personality, not super expressive. And I remember still, I was in this office having this discussion with a professional, and I'm realizing, oh my gosh, you know, my mom, as loving as she was, because she didn't express love the way I needed it growing up, I felt neglected. And that neglect kind of left this void in my heart. So then I pursued things like porn and, you know, trying to date girls and all that kind of stuff. All of it was driven by this void, this vacancy. And that was probably the biggest moment in my healing process, was identifying that, really labeling the pain of it and being willing to face it head on instead of stuffing it down, and then reaching a place of forgiveness. And when I did reach a place of forgiveness, I felt the difference. You know, it's not like I was never tempted again. It's just that I had a different kind of strength in the face of temptation, because that void wasn't there anymore. It wasn't sucking me in like it used to.
Now, did you express that to your mom? Did you ever share that with her?
Yeah, I did. That was a huge part of me wanting to reconcile with my mom on the whole, because I realized that that disconnection that was there between us, a lot of it was stemming from the neglect at a young age that I didn't even know was there. And so it took me some time. I went through the journey, but eventually I asked her out for a coffee one day, which I'd never really done before. And just opened up to her and said, you know, I feel like I've held back a bit in our relationship, and here's why. I'm really sorry about it, and I want to have a closer relationship with you. And I mean, she was, yeah, her eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. You know, she was so happy, and it's really impacted our relationship for the good.
Now, Cynthia, you're currently married now, right?
That's right, yeah.
All right, and so do you have any children?
I don't have any children, no, just newly married, so I'm figuring that part out first.
All right, because I'm telling you right now, because what you're sharing is so important, and I think this is, and this is, I guess, is great for you as a parent to hopefully one day be, is that I'm sure, I'm speaking for your mom now, and it's probably not my place to do it. She probably had no clue that you felt that way growing up as a kid, that you felt neglected, because they're providing this loving, nurturing environment. And there's a lot of kids who don't even get that, what you had, and not realize that even in that kind of context, in that environment, there can still be something that's lacking in a child's life. And I tell you, and I'm not doing this to scare you, Cynthia, it just makes being a parent scary, because you can still miss it even when you're, quote, doing things right. You can still miss that part. You know, I know with me and my relationship with my mom just passed last year, is that when we grew up, my mom wasn't very affectionate. You know, she had her battles and struggles personally, but when it came to loving, we know that she loved us, but the way she expressed that love, she wasn't very affectionate. And I realize now, as I went through my battle with it, that even today, I'm not very affectionate. But it also stems with also experiencing abuse as well. But you pile that up with not having an affectionate mom, and then you're abused by a male, it can screw you up all up in your head. And you're looking for, like you said, intimacy in all the wrong places. And so, but I just think that's interesting that what you shared about your mom. Your mom was, she's probably like, wow, I didn't know my son felt this way. And so that had to be a big revelation for you. Now, let me go on to my next question for you. One of the main reasons, at least speaking for myself, that I think men stay stuck in pornography, like we mentioned before, is the cycle of shame, guilt, and regret. But you say that there's a difference between shame, guilt, and regret. Could you explain the difference to us?
Yeah. I've been big on this lately. I think shame is the fundamental belief that something is wrong with me. So it's this core belief, and it really attacks our identity, our sense of self. And I know you're big on that, Dr. Joe, because really everything we do is out of our identity. Guilt is, I've done something wrong. So there's a difference between shame and guilt. Guilt is about an action. Shame is about your identity. And one of the best ways I can illustrate this is I had a friend who got caught stealing at Walmart when she was younger. She was a teenager. And so she's, you know, with the cops or whatever at the station, and they do all the paperwork and they call her parents. Her parents are coming to pick her up. And the officer that had arrested them or found them or whatever had just looked her in the eyes and said, "Just because you stole doesn't make you a thief." And so that statement right there is making the distinction between, hey, you did something, but you're not what you do. Like your identity is apart from that. And that's a really hard thing to separate in this whole realm of pornography, because we look at porn and then we think, oh, I'm a pervert, I'm hopeless, I'm whatever. But actually, those are two different things. Guilt is you feel bad about what you've done. Shame is you feel bad about who you are. And one other thing about guilt that's worth noting is guilt can actually be positive. So there's damaging guilt where it's like you beat yourself up, you can't let go of it, you don't forgive yourself. That's damaging. Or anytime you reach a conclusion about yourself that is outside of your Christ-based identity, that's a problem. But if guilt is the thing that leads you to confess, if it's the thing that leads you to make a difference or make a change in your life and realize I need to do something better, then it can actually be a positive thing. Regret is an interesting part of this. I guess because the only way you can really recover from shame and guilt is by working through parts of your past. One of the things I've noticed in the guys I'm working with is actually that can be a slippery slope, because you start to dig up all this stuff from your past and then you actually can make the shame worse because you think, oh man, I did all this stuff, and it's kind of overwhelming, right? So for me, regret, I'm really going after this thing right now, because regret is looking at your past without compassion. And when you look at your past without compassion, you will reach conclusions that are outside of God's thinking about you. And that's a problem, because really the only true identity that's going to give you long-lasting results is based on God's thoughts towards you.
Amen.
So when you live with regret, when you look at your past without compassion, without that lens, it robs you of joy in the present and hope for the future. And those are two things that every single guy on the planet needs, regardless of whether or not he's struggling with porn. But he needs it all the more if he's on that journey to recovery. So I think going after regret is a huge one. Just learning to see your past with compassion towards yourself, because God's not holding it against you. So why should we?
Right, right. Boy, Sathya, that ministers a lot. I mean, in so many different ways. Because I think just breaking those three down is really helpful for, I hope men can understand and grasp. Now, tell me from a personal standpoint for you, Sathya, what was your biggest obstacle that you had to overcome in that 15-year period that you said, wow, this was probably the biggest obstacle for me to get to freedom? What was it for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hinted at it earlier, but it really was understanding my true identity, like my really learning to love myself. That's kind of the terminology I use. Which sometimes is like a little bit uncomfortable for people to hear. Like, what do you mean you love yourself? It sounds so conceited and self-absorbed. But just learning to appreciate who I was, I basically realized all of my behavior, the problematic behavior, was stemming from these parts of me that I didn't love, or these parts of me that I just believed like, oh, I'm worthless, or I'm a failure, I'm a whatever it was. And so the biggest thing for me was actually just learning to appreciate who I am, learning to see my true value. And once I discovered that, I basically did everything I could to solidify that part. And that includes obviously getting into the Word and professional help and all of it. But the sole purpose in exploring those different endeavors was really, I just wanted to love myself better, because I knew if I could get a godly perspective on who I was, the behavior and everything else would take care of itself.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll second that too, because I know deep down inside, because, you know, I had feelings of, oh, I'm not man enough, or I'm not good enough. Those feelings of rejection. But it comes down to identity, because I believe identity determines your destiny. And that kind of is a great transition to my next question, because I heard you mention in another interview that all behavior is rooted in belief. It's all rooted in belief and what we think about ourselves and how we see ourselves and the thoughts that we have. And I agree with that. So what do you think are some of the beliefs that men who are struggling with pornography need to start adopting? I know we focus on identity, but give us some more beliefs that if we start grabbing onto those beliefs, it could change everything.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest thing I had to adapt was I am enough.
Yeah.
Like in this moment, with my imperfections, with all my shortcomings, with all the things I can think of in the last 24 hours that I could have done better, I'm still enough. That's been huge. And to me, in most of the guys, when we actually get to some of these core beliefs and we start breaking it down, most of it boils down to a sense of being good enough, being loved just the way they are, being acceptable. It's really somewhere in those three realms. So I think those are always good places to start. And I think the other good thing to really believe about yourself is I can do it. Like it's actually possible to be a free man. And I used to watch interviews and listen to stories of guys who got free because I had to remind myself that it was possible. And so I think even just being able to say over yourself, I can do it. It is possible. I'm going to find a way. Even if you don't know the way, just being able to latch onto that belief, I can do it. I'm going to find a way. I think those kinds of elements are really empowering and they push you in the right direction.
You know, I love that first one you said too, that I am enough. And I'm going to add on to what you said, because I think I can tie it all together. You said, I am enough. I can do it. I am enough. God is enough. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think that is beautifully tied together in our identity, because whatever we're doing, we don't have to do it alone. And we are enough because we're in him and he's in us. And I think that's at the core of all this, that we think we're not good enough. We don't think we are enough. And we don't think God can help us overcome this. So, but I'm glad you pointed out that's great. Now, what I like about your approach to Thea, from just listening to interviews, going on your website, and you helping men break free from porn, is that you focus on heart transformation, not just behavior modification. Now, specifically, one of your strategies involves what you call emotional fitness. And I love that term, emotional fitness. Could you explain to us what you mean by emotional fitness and why that's so important for us achieving victory over pornography?
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's a difference between being healthy and being fit. And I mean, it's true in all areas like physical health or finances or whatever. The best way I can illustrate is probably with a physical example. So you can see me on camera right now, Dr. Joe. I look like I'm in decent condition, decent shape. But in December, I had an operation. I tore my ACL playing basketball. So I'm like 3 months into marriage and my poor wife is having to like carry me around and wheelchair me everywhere. Goodness. And it was crazy. So I get the operation. And the honest truth is that right now, I'm healthy. Like I'm still eating well. I'm not really consuming a lot of junk food. On the whole, I'm a pretty healthy guy. But if I was going camping with a couple buddies and we ran into anything wild in the forest that we had to run away from, I'm actually not fit for that moment.
Right.
I'm still recovering from my operation here. It doesn't matter that I ate my greens that morning, you know? So there's a difference between healthy and being fit. And when it comes to recovering from pornography, I think you can learn to become aware of your emotions. That's really, really good. And you can even start to have a healthy view. Like you learn how to kind of manage them. But being fit means that you're apt. It means that if the circumstances change dramatically, which, I mean, welcome to life, that's just a part of it. It means you're not caught in a downward spiral because too much happened at once and you couldn't handle it. And so I've learned this concept, Dr. Joe, because when my wife and I were engaged, she actually became very sick about 2 weeks after I proposed to her. And she was bedridden, basically had the life sucked out of her. And it took us a year to figure out what was even wrong with her, let alone finding a solution. And it was emotionally difficult for me. I mean, here's this girl I fell in love with, ready to start a life together. And we can't even plan our wedding because she's just too sick and doesn't have the energy for it. And that was where I realized, okay, this is like, I didn't slip, you know, and we had to really work hard on keeping our boundaries pure in the relationship. That was important to us. And we didn't slip in that area either. But I realized it's not my emotional health that is helping me in this scenario, because I've seen other guys who are healthy emotionally, but have crumbled under those kinds of circumstances. I realized it's actually fitness. It's building that kind of agility emotionally, if I can put it that way, so that you can respond even when the circumstances are difficult. And it's not easy. I don't want to present this case like I got it all figured out and I'm perfect. But I know some of these things have been really helpful for some of the life circumstances that I've endured the last couple of years.
Right. You know, and that makes perfect sense. And that's why I love that term, use emotional fitness, because I think when it comes to that, we struggle as men. And my wife, she's a personal fitness trainer. And I'm going to share that phrase with her, emotional fitness. I say, I know you're getting people, their bodies in shape, but are they emotionally fit? Because we do need to be able to practice that. Now, I've also heard you mention, you mentioned this even in the interview so far, about when you're talking about your, in reference to your mom, you mentioned that about forgiveness, how important that is, that it plays a major role in overcoming pornography. Why is that? What role does forgiveness play in that?
Yeah, well, I think we're all instructed to forgive. It's not a suggestion of the Bible. It's an instruction, something that Jesus expects us to do. I think when you experience something in your life that causes you pain or offense, you basically have two options. You can deal with it or you can suppress it. And as long as you suppress it, that situation stays with you. It's the reason why when you suddenly get married and you get into a disagreement with your wife, you suddenly have this response and you're thinking, where did that come from? Like, that's not who I am. I'm not that guy. Well, it's because there's probably something way in the past that is been preserved by the pain, preserved by the hurt, if I can put it that way. And we have to forgive to release ourselves from what's taken place. And I think that's a huge part of it. And when it comes to recovering from pornography, like, I had to forgive my mom so that I wasn't holding against her this neglect that I felt. Because as long as I'm holding that against her, she's basically responsible for meeting that need of mine. And obviously, like, I mean, I'm a grown man now, so that need's not going to get met by her anymore. But as long as my heart is longing for it, I'm gonna be left with an unmet need. So forgiveness kind of opens the door to all of that, and it gives me a chance to move on. It gives me a chance to find healthier ways to get that need met so that I can actually live a healthy adult life. And I think that's why forgiveness is so essential. And it's not just about forgiving others who have maybe contributed over the years. You also have to learn to forgive yourself. And that's a much harder one, because I know a lot of guys I've worked with say, I don't know if I could ever forgive myself for doing what I've done to, you know, I mean, I do work with married men. So they're very aware that what they've done is going to have an impact, not just on their marriage, I work with fathers as well, on their families as well, their kids and all of that. And being able to forgive yourself is huge, but you have to do it. And yet you have to do it for your own sake. It can't be, it's not about justifying what someone has done. Forgiving them doesn't say what they did is okay. It just says, I'm not letting what they did hold me back anymore. And on the spiritual side, Jesus actually said in Matthew 6, he said, if you do not forgive somebody else for their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive you of yours either. It's a ludicrous statement when you think about it, because we all walk around thinking like, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for me, I'm forgiven of my sins, and we're good to go.
Right.
But there is this verse here that says, well, actually, you have to steward that part of it by living a lifestyle of forgiveness and making sure you forgive everyone who forgave you, because you already got forgiveness you didn't deserve. So the least you can do is to give it to those people in your life who maybe don't deserve it either. And so there's that spiritual aspect where you should do it for your own benefit of gaining God's forgiveness, but you should also do it so that you can move on from your past and find healthier ways to get those needs met.
Right. You know, it's so funny, and not in a humorous way. I'm talking about for us guys like us who've gone through this, how we never saw the connection between what we were doing and forgiving. And as you say that, I'm thinking about, yes, when I was able to forgive my mom, forgive my dad for not being there, and forgiving the person who abused me, that's when I was able to start moving forward. And we struggle so much with forgiveness. We've done a lot of shows on forgiveness. Matter of fact, we just had a guest, I think it was about maybe a week or two ago, about, he just wrote a book called Why Forgive. And we don't understand that basically forgiveness is a gift we actually give to ourselves to free ourselves from our own bondage. That's the way I look at it. People ask, they said, Joe, I don't know how, I know if I'm able to forgive, I don't know when I can forgive. I say, oh, how long would it take me to forgive? I said, you'll forgive when you're ready to let yourself out of jail.
Yeah.
I said, right now you're in prison, but you have the keys to the door. You can stay there as long as you want to. God has given you the keys to let yourself out, but you can let yourself go whenever you want to. And that's what it felt like for me when I forgave my abuser, my mom and my dad, is that I set myself free to now be able to live, because I did feel, not only was I in bondage to pornography, I was in bondage to these emotions and these feelings that I was having. So you're right on point with that. Now, so we know that the heart is what matters most. But at the same time, I know personally there are a lot of things that I do to maintain my walk in sexual purity, probably too many to even share on this interview. But could you share with us some of your personal disciplines that you engage in to help you maintain your freedom from pornography? We know you've had a heart change, but what do you do now with your spiritual or personal disciplines right now to stay free?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's two things I do primarily that I think pretty much any guy on the planet can implement into their life. The first thing is I journal. I'm an avid journaler. I think it's really important. And I teach that like journaling is two parts. It's expression and reflection. So you got to get that stuff out. The stuff that maybe you can't formulate in another way. And you have to make sure that your journaling is getting the emotions out of it too. That's super helpful for me. Cause I have to be able to kind of label the emotions along the way, but I find the reflecting part is really helpful as well. Just getting everything out and then letting the voice of the Holy Spirit just speak to me. And, you know, whether it's bringing comfort to a situation, bringing a solution, whatever it is, getting his perspective before my emotions boil over, before they become something worse. I think that's really, really helpful for me. And the other thing is along those lines, but it's just having a high level of accountability. And I mean, I have it with my wife to a certain degree. I have it with my pastor. I even have a little bit with my boss. I just have a really good relationship with him. And I have a couple friends that I'm quite open with. So even when Shaloma's my wife.
I love that name, Shaloma.
Oh, yeah, I know. When we were going through that difficult engagement, I mean, I can think right off the top of my head of five guys that I was really open and honest with about just the struggles and the pain and the frustration and all of it, because I think it's really important. And the thing that I say about accountability, because I know I kind of took a jab at it earlier, but you can see I'm obviously a fan of it. I think the problem is a lot of accountability is very surface level. And if you're accountable for only surface level issues, you'll get surface level results. But one of the things I found even in my relationship with Shaloma is actually there's a difference between telling her after the fact, like, hey, babe, I looked at porn today. I'm really sorry. Which, you know, a lot of the guys that come to me have been doing that at the very least, which I think is great. But I realized I'd rather confess a temptation than confess a mistake. I'd rather say, babe, I'm having a super hard day today. I actually felt like looking at porn a couple times. It doesn't even have to be with her if that's, you know, uncomfortable. I don't actually really confess to her a lot. I've done it a couple times. But being able to reach out to your buddies, hey, I'm feeling it today. Do you have time for a quick chat? I think even just having the human interaction is really helpful for me. It's different than just saying pray for me. Because when you say pray for me, you're still left isolated. You don't get that connection with another human. So those are the two big things, like that high level accountability in relationships where there's trust, and also journaling on a regular basis. I think those two things have been really vital for me to preserve my freedom.
So that is so good. And I'm hoping that men are taking notes on that, because I love that. Because you're right, because I'm the same as you. People hear me talk about accountability because we talk about Real Men Connect, but it's not the answer to walking in victory. It's just a tool. It's not the rule. And it's helpful, but I like what you said. It's not just having accountability. It's the right accountability at the right level of sharing. You know, if we're not going to go deep, and that's why I love the name of your ministry. What is it? Deep Clean. Yeah. I love that, because you have to go deep. If you want to build deep roots, you're going to have to go deep in your relationship with other men. And I even like what you said, and I wrote that down, that it's better to confess to a temptation than to confess a mistake. I think a lot of men need to remember that. And that applies to your accountability. I have a lot of men who come to me after they've committed the sin. And I said, well, why didn't you call me before you committed the sin? You know, I'm going to receive you. But I said, come on, I don't want you to keep coming to me after the fact, because you're coming back broken, beat up. You know, the devil's just been beating you up over it. But if you come to me beforehand, we can work on it together. So you're right. It's not just accountability. It's how you handle accountability. Now, Sathya, I got one more question for you, because I want to get into the man up questions. As men, we often kind of expect and pursue perfection. That's what we're looking for and anticipating when it comes to breaking free from porn. Oh, Joe, I don't ever want to be tempted again. Which I think is just ridiculous. You know, I don't ever want to have to, but we know that's a recipe for failure. So what do you suggest men do if they trip up, when they fall, or if they experience a relapse? Because that is all also possible. and more realistic that you're going to make some mistakes along the way. So what's the best way you think that a man should respond when he misses perfection?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. So I'll come at this from a different angle, because I think, you know, in general, you obviously have to talk to someone about it. And I think you have to learn from your mistakes. Like, I even tell the guys in my program, relapse is a part of recovery. It doesn't just happen overnight. Relapse is a part of recovery. But when you relapse, you need to learn from it. It's not okay that you just keep relapsing over and over again. So I think you learn from your recoveries by asking two questions. You ask, why did that happen? Like, it can't just be like, oh, I was scrolling on social media and it kind of triggered me, or I saw someone attractive. No. What was going on internally? Why did that happen? What were the emotions and the needs driving it? And then number two, what would I do differently next time? And I think when you visualize those things, it's really, really effective. So to me, that's like my standard answer, Joe. But you're asking good questions, and you deserve a little hack here. So one of the things I did along the way is a thing that I call mirror therapy. And this is something I actually practice on my journey to freedom. After a slip, I got in the habit of looking at myself in the mirror. Usually it was in the bathroom anyway, so there's a mirror there. I'd look myself dead in the eyes and I would say, you're gonna figure this out. You can do it. You are enough. You know, those beliefs we were talking about before. Because I realized, you know, the Bible says that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And I realized that my response after a slip was almost as destructive as the things that caused the slip.
Yeah, exactly.
In the first place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there might be some better options out there, but for me, this is the best one I found. If I can just get in front of the mirror as quickly as possible, speak life, like scripture-based truth over myself, who I am, it began to curb my thoughts afterwards. So I wasn't beating myself up as much. You know, I wasn't getting too caught up in it. I was thinking, I am going to figure this out. You know, it's giving your brain a direction to head in instead of all the self-loathing, self-condemning that kind of keeps you stuck in your past. So those would be my top tips to, you know, guys who are still working through it on how to recover after a slip.
You know, that's good, Cynthia. I love that. And what I love about what you're doing is really you're taking your thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ, but you're doing it in a visual, in a physical way. You're getting the body and the mind and the eyes involved in the whole process. So I look at it as a holistic approach to capturing your thoughts. What a great hack. I like that. What a great hack to do to kind of help you kind of regain focus. That is awesome. Now, Cynthia, I mentioned before you came on that if we had time, we wanted to do the man up questions with you. And I can't wait, man. I'm excited about it. Basically, what we do is we ask you five questions, quick questions, starting with the letters MANUP. And all they require is your fearless honesty. So, Cynthia, are you ready for it, man?
All right, let's do it.
All right. And guys, we'll be right back with my guest, Cynthia Sam, who is a pastor, entrepreneur, and coach with Deep Cleaning. Deep Cleaning. And we'll be right back with Cynthia after this short break. Are you ready to cheat on your wife? No, I'm not talking about that kind of cheating. I'm talking about gaining an unfair advantage on how to understand your wife better, love her deeper, avoid unnecessary arguments, and even have more sex with her. That's right. Based on the success of our Marriage Secrets for Men boot camps, we're finally sharing the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men with the public. This is the quick reference must-have go-to guide for husbands and wannabe husbands that can help stack the odds in your favor. The Bible tells us to live with our wives in an understanding way. Well, the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men is your shortcut to doing that. So you'll learn four questions you can ask your wife in every argument to avoid future arguments. You'll learn the 45 questions you can ask her to learn and master her heart. 50 ways to love your wife better. 6 things you can say to her to manage her response before you damage her emotions. 10 things you can do right now that will lead to more sex. 8 ways to get her to stop ignoring you, even 49 ways to have more meaningful conversations with your wife, and much, much more. See, this is the manual every divorced man wishes he had before he got married. Well, at least I did. And I'm so God confident that the Marriage Cheat Sheet will become one of the most valuable referred to resources in your marriage library, that if you don't think so, just send it back for a full refund. Trust me, next to our Marriage Secrets for Men bootcamp, this will be the second best investment you will ever make in your marriage. Now, to get your copy of the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men on sale for a limited time only, just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the store button. That's realmenconnect.com. Welcome back, Mighty Warriors, with my guest, Cynthia Sam, and he's ready to take on the man up questions. And like I said, Cynthia, this will be painless. All you have to do is be honest with us and share from your heart, brother. So the first question is M, and the M stands for mistake. Now, looking back at your life, Cynthia, after you've gone through this battle with overcoming pornography and sexual impurity and sexual temptation, what was the biggest mistake that you learned from in this journey for you?
Biggest mistake is I tried to do it on my own, by far. And even when I kind of warmed up to the idea of letting other people in, it was a very small amount. And I wish I would have let people in earlier. And I still fight this because it's kind of my nature to just do it on my own and figure it out and be able to say afterwards, like, I figured it all out on my own. I think as men, we kind of love that. But it was a mistake for sure. I just wish I would have brought people all the way in a lot earlier in my process.
You know, I've heard a lot of men, even some of the men that I've coached, they've said the same thing. Even after we've gone through the process, and I say, okay, what did you learn most from this? They say, wow, I would have trusted you in this process a lot sooner, as opposed to slowly peeling back the layers like an onion. Say, I would have just went all in. And we know that is a process. But, and you work with a lot of men too, Cynthia. My next question is, A stands for attitude. If there was one attitude you could change in men when it comes to this, dealing with this particular issue, what would it be?
Yeah, well, it's kind of related, but it would be humility. Just learning to assume a posture of humility from the get-go. And I mean, this is true in getting free of pornography, but it's true really of all aspects of life. And it actually ties everything together, Dr. Joe, because really humility is just seeing yourself the way God sees you. Nothing more and nothing less. It's not downplaying the great things that you have about you, but it's not overplaying them either. You know, it's that grounding in who you are and being completely comfortable with serving other people, putting their needs above yours, and realizing like life's not all about you. You know, there's bigger things in life, and life really is bigger than all of us. I think that attitude of humility is really useful in all areas of life. And when it comes to getting free of porn, I think you have to be humble. It's a humbling experience to admit I have a problem and I need help. I'm sure you went through that. Even when you like in your journey. And I think that kind of humility really goes a long way.
You know, isn't it kind of ironic too, that we look at humility as being like this lesser, I guess, characteristic of ourselves. But when we are stuck in porn, or we're walking in the guilt and shame of porn, it actually humility and seeing God the way, seeing ourselves the way God sees us actually will bring us up.
That's right. You know,
it is a positive thing that restores us back to who he says we are, not what we think we are in our own heads. Now, so let me ask you the next question. The N stands for next. What's the next big thing you would attempt to do in your work with men if you knew you couldn't fail?
Next big thing I would do is write a book. And yeah, share. I mean, you brought some great stuff out of me today that I don't think anyone's ever asked me this before. But that's the kind of stuff, you know, I want to share my story. I want to bring hope, and I want to help as many men as possible get free.
All right. So I'm surprised. I'm really surprised you haven't written a book yet. So so now that you're going public, what you just said, that means if we bring you back on the show, Cynthia, that means the next question we ask you, have you written that book yet? Question we ask you. Now, the U represents understand. Now, even though you're still fairly young right now, but when you were younger, what was the one thing you didn't understand about pornography and this whole thing and the temptation and the pull of it and the bondage behind it that you know better now? What didn't you know back then that you know better now about it?
Oh, man, it's a great question. I think the thing I didn't really understand or comprehend was that they're real people with a mom and a dad. Some of them have kids. Just understanding that in life, like everybody we encounter, some people are going to rub you the wrong way. Some people you're going to get along with just fine. There's going to be people that you experience on a screen, even the same way that, you know, that people are going to watch this interview and whatever else. But we're all people with hearts, and we're people with lives. And I think especially in my younger years, you live with such a narrow view of life and of the world. And I think as I've gotten older, you obviously endure like a couple hardships here and there, and you know, gain free of pornography, that journey alone, you just learn, man, we're all people in this, just trying to figure it out. And I think it's given me a lot of appreciation for people in the industry, or a lot of value. I see them as valuable people, because they're not the problem. It's the mindset. It's people finding bad ways to get their needs met. Those are the real issues. It's not the people. So I think just learning to not personalize things so much and understand we're all in this together trying to figure it out.
Right. That's good stuff, man. You know, Stan, I'll let you off with this last question. The P stands for problem. And even as a mighty man of God, which you are, what problem do you still struggle with when it comes to this? Because a lot of guys, you know, they assume since we've been free from porn and walking in victory, oh, so we never have any more struggles. It's just a piece of cake from this point forward. But we know that's not true. So what is some of the problems that you still struggle with today, even when it comes to dealing with pornography?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought this up, Dr. Joe, because I went 4 years of not looking at porn before I got married. And so that's basically like not a lot of things sexually happening in my life. Like I'm not watching porn. I'm not masturbating. My wife and I are, or my fiance girlfriend at the time, we're not engaging in any of that kind of activity. And then all of a sudden we're married and we're allowed to have sex. And it just kicked my hormones into a gear that I haven't
imagined.
Yeah. And so I'm really learning to manage that. And the thing I really have to work with right now is fantasy. And it wasn't a problem before, but I think now because that part of my life is an option, if I can put it that way, sex is an option for me. I really have to combat fantasy. It's a huge one. And I think that's where the emotional fitness comes into play. Because again, it helps you adapt to changing conditions, but it's something I'm working through, and I work through it daily.
You know, and Cynthia, thank you so much for answering these man up questions. And that's why we ask these questions. And I'm hoping the men out there, they're understanding now why we do this all the time, because it's so easy for them to see us on this side of the screen or here on this side of their automobiles and thinking, oh, wow, these guys got it all together. They never have to deal with this stuff. But no matter what, no matter how far we've come, this is a daily battle. We still have to fight the good fight. And all we're trying to do is help men fight, let them know they don't have to fight the fight alone. And we're just trying to walk beside them. So thank you so much for sharing that, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your honesty and your transparency. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Now, men, we've come to the end of our show, but don't you worry. We'll be back again next week with a new guest, new insights, and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. And I'd like to thank my guest, Cynthia Sam, for joining us today and for being so gracious with his time. Thank you, brother, for spending time with us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And Dr. Joe, I mentioned this, I think, before we hit record, but I see you as like the godfather of Christian men's health, man. So it's an honor to be on this. I really admire and respect you. And thanks for everything you're doing. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm in the fight like you, man. Just want to see men set free, walk into victory in their true identity in Christ. Their true identity. And you said it early in the interview. We're not what we do. We're who he says we are, who we say we are. And so, Cynthia, quickly for our listeners, if they wanted to find out more about you and your ministry and what you're working on, how can they connect with you? What would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, best way is just to go to my website, www.cynthiasam.com. That's S-A-T-H-I-Y-A-S-A-M. .com. You can find out more information about me there. And if that's too hard to remember, getadeepclean.com. That works as well. That'll take you to the same website. So whatever is easy, that's the best way to connect. I'm on Instagram as well. You can find me there. It'd be cool to get in touch that way as well.
Fantastic. Thanks, Cynthia, for sharing that information. What we'll do is we'll put that in the show notes as well as your social media connections too. So if you guys want to reach out to Cynthia, please do that. I'm sure he will welcome that. We'd love to answer any questions that you guys may have. And check out his website. I know he has some free resources over there that could benefit you in your walk and sexual purity. And guys, if you like today's show, please do us a favor. And this is so important. Take about 30 seconds or so. Go over to iTunes and rate the program for us, because it's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.